session number 26868, reel 1.
This is the first reel of a taped interview with Max Gamble in his home in Perth, Western Australia, on the 19th of the 12th, 2003, for the Imperial War Museum in London, and the interviewer is John Bannister. Max, could we begin the interview by you telling us your full name and where and when you were born, please?
Right. My full name is Frederick Maxwell Gamble. I was born in Kyneton, Victoria, or Central Victoria, on the 24th of October, 1920.
Let's talk about your early years, growing up.
Well, my father was a farmer, so one had to help in all sorts of ways on a farm, particularly as it was in the midst of the Depression. Had to ride a horse to primary school. Later was a bicycle to a secondary school in Kyneton, which was 15 miles away, and I stayed in a boarding house over the weekend and then rode back in there over weekend. At the end of my secondary school education, my father was not very well, so I had to look after the farm for a while, and then as he recovered, was getting onto about the middle of 1939. I then joined the citizen forces for odd camps, rather like those, imagine the territorial setup. And I was on the farm when the 3rd of September 1939. Well, communications in those days weren't all that were good, so all one heard was wireless, because we were too far away for papers. So it was what one heard from the wireless that sort of skewed one's views. Mm. Shortly after that, the citizen forces called me up, so I went into camp in southern Victoria on the Port Phillip Bay, and I was in camp there for some time, and I'd always wanted to get into the Air Force, particularly after having a Hawker Demon crash land on the farm and run into a stone wall, that I thought, well, I'd like to be a pilot. So I waited my opportunity, and I couldn't get out of the citizen forces until there was a recruiting train went to my hometown of Kyneton, and I went to the recruiting train and got enlisted in the RAAF.
Let's go back a little way and talk about your situation growing up. What do you recall of people talking, for instance, about the First World War?
Well, so my association with the First World War was with my father, joined up in the infantry and went to Egypt. He missed Gallipoli, went straight on to France, and he was in the trenches in France and he wasn't actually invalided out, but he had a lot of trouble with trench fever, which did affect his heart later on in life.
Well, describe what trench fever is,
I'm not altogether certain, but I think probably just a general feeling of being very unwell and nothing you put a finger on.
Did he talk about his experiences during the First World War?
No, he was fairly close. By the way, my uncle had been in the Boer War. He was wounded in somewhere in South Africa.
Well, what had he told you about that? Did you know anything about the Boer War?
No, not really. just that he'd been a soldier there.
In relation to the First World War, in relation to the Boer War, how had you understood the connection with Australia to those conflicts? Why was Australia involved?
I think if it was a case of the age one was, then you just sort of accepted. You heard that this was the case and you accepted it.
But why was Australia involved in those wars so far away?
Because of its association, close association with the United Kingdom.
What was your feeling as a young bloke growing up toward the United Kingdom, towards...
Oh, we looked up and respected and approved of the association.
Why do you think that's the case?
I don't know. Again, I think you just grew up with it.
What did you know about Britain, about the king, for instance, the queen, as a young man?
Very little, really, because most of it, again, was coming purely from wireless broadcasts and what one could read in books, etc., and also conversation in the home.
What sorts of conversations would you have about Britain?
Are rather spasmodic, just bits and pieces here and there.
People talk of the mother country, home. Was that something that you considered England to be?
This was just stated as home in those days, and again, one accepted.
What was your personal identity in relation to being Australian, being British?
Pride in Australia, also in the thought of the Commonwealth, we were quite happy to go along.
Let's talk about what you recall of the effects of the Depression. You were a young 9-10 year old boy when the Depression hit. What do you recall of those years?
Oh, things were pretty tough. There was no money. I think that that time we got a sweet, which was only one stick, once every 3 months, with a Chinaman with a horse and cart, sort of covered cart, came round every 3 months. So that money was very, very scarce. At that stage, my father had a T-model Ford, which was quite new, of course, in those days. And then later an American car, a Nash.
Did you feel as though you were doing without at all?
Not really. There was so much to do, and go out and shoot rabbits, foxes, and so on. And also one had to work fairly hard in helping in the farm, because there was no money for hired help.
Did you understand the general situation, for instance, of how the Depression started?
That was a bit of a mystery.
Were you concerned at all with how the Depression might be affecting countries in Europe? Places like Germany, for instance.
The news was so little then that it was rather difficult to assess that.
I wanted to discuss the sort of general view toward Europe, how Europe was seen in relation to the world scheme of things, given your upbringing in Australia and the country.
It was a bit of an unknown quantity, really. One knew where it was in geography, and the global setup, and the internal workings of Europe and so on was not something one knew.
When was it that you were to start becoming interested or aware of the changing political situation in Europe? People talk of Hitler, for instance.
I think the first awareness of that was round about the 1936 Olympic Games. And there was more sort of news flying around then, particularly of Hitler's activities and so on. And that, I think, was the beginning of one's sort of interest in Europe, what he was doing and what a nasty bit of work the whole situation was.
Did you understand his policies at all? You mentioned the Olympics. Obviously, one of the issues of the Olympics was this race issue that he had. And we talked of Jesse Owens and...
I remember how happy we all were when Jesse Owens won so much that he put Hitler out of the stand. I remember that vaguely.
Did anyone talk of a Second World War at all at this time?
Yes.
Who were making noises about a second World War?
I think it was coming from politicians generally.
How are you thinking about the idea of a Second World War?
I didn't think it was at that stage. I just thought that they'd fix their differences. But then as it got into 1939, that's when I joined the citizen forces. One was beginning to think that it was coming.
Well, I'm interested in talking about that. September 1938, there was talk of the Munich peace agreement and all of that sort of thing. What did you know of that situation? You had Chamberlain coming back from Munich. Peace in our time, he was waving this piece of paper. Did you hear or understand anything?
I think we all thought that the way Hitler was sort of progressing, that was only just a delaying action.
How did people look at Chamberlain from the Australian point of view?
As a sincere person, but a little bit not with it. He wasn't seeing reality.
Obviously, the reality would be that war would come about. What was you mentioned you were interested in the citizens' military force. What concerns did you have about joining a military build-up, for instance, for your future, what that might mean?
Not a lot. I think that was probably conditioned by the fact that my father had joined up and served in the forces, and that I'd more or less follow his example. I think that's the main reason.
To what degree were you looking for adventure, do you think?
Well, that was there, but it wasn't a controlling one.
So here you are, ultimately wanting to be an aviator or a pilot. Who were your heroes in the aviation world, would you say, as you became interested in becoming a pilot?
It was largely Kingswood Smith and Ulm and the various ones that are on the Australia to or UK to Australia air races and so on. The general sort of aviation people that hit the headlines.
Boys' own stuff? Your boys' own annuals? Were you ever...
Didn't have them at all.
Okay. Let's talk then about the coming of the Second World War. Obviously there's rumbling, there are people talking about the coming of the Second World War. What was it like then to know? What was it like to know the reality that you were faced with? September the 3rd, 1939.
I think a bit of apprehension and I suppose excitement in what was going to eventuate. But apart from that, not a lot, because there was not a lot you could do.
What was involved in you becoming involved in the military? What did you have to do? What did you have to sign?
I can't remember just what I did. I joined at a place called Heathcote in central Victoria with another chap, and we used to go across on a motorcycle and sidecar to the camps. That was before we were called up full time.
Let's talk then about the official situation, joining up.
Well, I think really it was rather unofficial. It was a rather haphazard affair. Just went and joined the camp, signed a few things. I can't remember what it was now. Mm. And that was that. I was issued with some semblance of uniform.
What did that include? You mentioned a semblance of uniform. It doesn't sound as though you had a proper uniform.
It was a proper uniform, but I think a lot of it was old second-hand stuff from 1418 set up.
How did you feel being in uniform now?
Well, I suppose a bit excited about it all. It's difficult to know what one felt back it's nearly 70 years.
What then of the situation in relation to initial training? What did that include?
With the citizen forces. Drill, the old square bashing, rifle. Familiarisation, and at that stage I think the infantry was still very much involved with route marches and this sort of thing. It was before the commando type training came in. That came in when we moved into camp after the outbreak of war. But they're still in the old idea of route marches and trenches.
What was it like, sort of the early life as a soldier?
Well, there was the company of the other people, your friends who were in it. Apart from that, rather unglamorous.
Was it a fun time?
Yes, one was able to have a certain amount. Several of us joined together and we bought a rugby car so that we could go from camp home. One of us would take the car every... we'd pay 20 quid for it. Whatever weekends we had off. Which again was quite amusing.
And how did people see you being in uniform? What was their impression, do you think?
Some thought it was a good thing. Others thought it was just being bloody idiots.
Did anyone try and discourage you from joining up?
No.
Do you recall any opposition to the war?
Oh, there were the usual pacifists who came on the news now and again, but one didn't actually come in personal contact with any of them.
What did you personally think of people like pacifists?
I thought they were living in cuckoo land. But the country was going to do something, they all had to do it together.
How did you justify, here you are, living in Victoria, miles and miles, thousands of miles away from Europe, how did you justify becoming involved in a conflict in Europe? Again.
I really don't know how to answer that one, because I can't remember how it affected me at the time.
People talk of things like Gallipoli and the sort of reputation of that whole experience. But yet here are young men ready to do it again almost.
It seems odd, but there were people who, the moment recruiting started, people were joining up immediately. My friend, who was in the RAAF, with whom I was on three different sort of squadrons together, his squadron leader, Charlie Edmondson, DSO, he was in the Australian Army. And the day they opened the Empire Air Training Scheme recruitment, he was about the first in line. So there were quite a lot of people getting ready to enlist immediately.
Of all the forces, how were they seen? You have infantry, navy and air force. How did they sort of sit together in popularity?
I think it was more or less individual choice. I think you had a little bit all the way around. Some said the Air Force was just a glamour situation, which we all know it wasn't.
We can talk about that, but other people say that you'd be an idiot to become a foot slogger.
Well, that was mentioned.
Why?
I wouldn't be at all surprised if that was part of the reason why I was keen on the Air Force. Although, as I said earlier, when I was about 15, 16, and this hawker demon landed on the farm, that was when I thought, that's what I'd like to be.
Thoughts of, obviously, not returning home, if you were to go away and fight. How did they strike?
I think it's one of these things you pushed aside. Those thoughts, of course, affected my parents to quite some extent.
In what way?
Well, you could see they were very apprehensive when I left to go overseas. From there on, there wasn't a hell of a lot of contact, because mail to the Australian troops from here went from Crawley Bay on a condensed into little wee aerogram forms on the Catalinas from there to Trincomalee and then to Middle East or South Africa or Italy, wherever.
We'll talk about that too. Mm. The thought of possibly not coming back, what then of the thought of being asked to go away and kill the king and country, for instance?
I think you just accepted that if you joined the forces, that was that.
It wasn't like you were having to defend your own country. You were being asked by another country to fly away and either do or die, as it were.
One did feel that you were defending your own country in doing that, in joining up to start with and carrying on with it.
Initially, we hear of what people term the phony war, the time between announcement of war and didn't seem as though there was a lot going on, particularly in Western Europe.
That's right. There were these leaflet raids and so on.
What did you understand of that period? How did you see that period, do you think?
I saw it more as a delayed start to the real stout.
How were the Germans seen at this time?
Very much as the enemy, to be annihilated.
So when
possible.
So when in May of 1940 we have the Blitzkrieg, how were they seen then?
As a real enemy.
We have Dunkirk, obviously. How was that seen?
Well, I think the main thing was the apprehension that before long UK would be invaded, and unless that could be stopped, there was nothing to stop Hitler taking over the various Commonwealth countries as well as UK.
Was there ever a time when you thought, well, May 26th, the evacuation of Allied troops from Dunkirk begins. Was there ever a time when you thought that the war might actually be over almost before it had begun for you?
You mean you say over, you mean that the German lost? Yes, it did. We're very apprehensive at that stage.
Given your equipment, given your uniform, being World War One, fighting against an enemy with panzer tanks blasting through the Western Front, what was your thought on that whole situation?
Well, that we were very ill-equipped, and possibly so was UK for this conflict. It was quite a worrying situation.
What was your particular situation at this time? What were you up to at this point?
Well, I was foot-slogging it in this Balcom camp in southern Victoria.
What equipment had you seen by this point? Had you ever seen a tank, for instance?
No. Not at all.
What was your weaponry at this stage?
Yeah, just rifles. And a few artillery pieces, which were all antiques as well.
How would you rate morale at this time?
Morale was quite good. There's very little defeatist talk, even though the situation appeared very grave.
June, we have the Germans entering Paris. We have the Vichy government being set up. The French collaborating in many respects. What was the feeling of this whole situation?
Completely let down by the French. We'd helped them in the 1418 war on their own territory, and here they were just becoming puppets. Their feeling was quite anti at that stage.
Hitler tours Paris in June 23rd, 1940. Were you hearing anything like this in relation to propaganda or movie tone reels or anything like that?
No, being in the army camp at that stage, it was not really broadcast very much.
Let's talk.
Unaware of things. Carry on.
What were your officers telling you about the situation?
Afraid the international situation was rarely discussed. There you are, you're in the services and get on with it. Do as you were told. Typical army.
What did you hear of air battles and daylight raids over Britain in August of 1940? Had you heard anything about the Battle of Britain beginning?
Oh, yes.
What were you hearing?
I can't really recall, except that we were sort of highly interested in hearing that we were winning, so to speak, not losing.